produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to my father's teachings. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today regarding prayer. My name is Terrence Burton, and before we get into this word that the Lord has for us, we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory, honor, praise, love, and adoration. We thank you, Holy Father, for working in us to do that which pleases you. Father, we thank you for being glorified in what we're going to talk about. Father, we thank you that as we take hold of the principles that you've laid out for us, that we will be better at living a life that glorifies the Father, that we will become better praying people, Father, that we would truly be that house of prayer as you have defined. And Lord, we give you praise, honor, glory, love, and adoration in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue on in our series talking about prayer. We've talked about how in previous lessons how that it is the will of the Father that we pray. In fact, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So in reality, the way the Father sees us is that we are a praying people. That is his heart. That is his desire, is that we are a people who pray. That's what we should be known for. And since that's what we should be known for, we're going to be talking about this for a little bit. Now, in this particular lesson, I want to lay a little bit of foundation, a little more foundation, to help us become more proficient in prayer, to help us become really highlight what we need to be. And I'm going to attempt to destroy some thoughts that we have that have actually hindered us regarding our prayer life, so that we can really walk in this realm of prayer and be efficient people as we pray and see some things get done for the glory of God, our Father. And so we're going to talk a little bit starting out today in Luke 18. And I'm going to read beginning at verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Verse 13 says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Just as a talking point for this lesson, what we're going to talk about is humility. I know that's not necessarily a topic that seems to be fun and exciting, but that's what we're going to talk about as part of our foundation to really be the kind of praying people that we should be. Is humility should be etched into our hearts. And we're going to look at a distinction here that Jesus gives in comparing two different people as they pray. And one has an attitude of arrogance and the other has an attitude of humility. And we're going to look at the distinctions between the two. So Again, this lesson begins in chapter 18, verse 9. And it says, and he spake this parable. So Jesus has given us a story about these two different people. And what he's wanting to point out is that there are some people who are trusting in themselves that they are righteous. Now, let's just kind of pause right there a little bit. What he's addressing is that there are some people who are walking in pride because they are dependent on their own righteousness. So as we talk about the subject matter, which this is the subject matter of prayer, you have to really think about whose righteousness am I depending on? Am I depending on my own righteousness, or am I depending on God's righteousness? Because if I'm depending on my own righteousness, that's called self-righteous, and that's error. So what the Father is looking for is for a people who will depend, like Paul said, that I might be found in him not having my own righteousness. So God is looking for a people who are not dependent on their own righteousness, but on the righteousness of God. Now, let me just tell you this, why one of the reasons why this is very important, and we're going to look at this more in depth in future lessons. But one of the reasons that this is very critical is because, one, you introduce pride when you depend on your own righteousness. And then, two, you're putting your faith onto an unstable foundation when it's based on you. But when your faith is based on the righteousness of God, then it has firm footing. See, the reason that we tend to shake and become unstable when it comes to prayer is because we tend to depend on our own righteousness to fuel it. And so what Jesus is teaching us here is that there are some people who depend on their own righteousness, but then there is a righteousness given by God that needs to be embraced and accepted and walked in. So he's talking about these people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. And see, that's one of the tales when somebody is trusting in themselves, because what they do is they will compare themselves against other people and say, because I am better than other people, then therefore I'm righteous because I find all these flaws with so-and-so. I'm better than them, therefore I'm righteous. But that's not the heart of the Father. And so that's what Jesus is pointing out here, that that kind of person is trusting in themselves that they are righteous. They are despising others and they're walking in pride. So here's the parable. So in verse 10, he says that two men went up into the temple to pray. So you got two people who are going into the temple to do the same thing. So two men doing the same thing at the same location, but they're viewed by God in two different ways, which means this. On the outside, it can look like we're doing the same thing. But what the Father is looking at is, are you in humility or are you in arrogance? Because the Father sees arrogance or humility, all you may see is that we're praying and we're in the same location, and then God did this for this person and God didn't do this for this person. God is looking deeper. Because what we have to understand regarding prayer is that it's deeper than our words. It's what our words reflect. It's about what our words actually mean. So two people doing the same thing, in the same place, but God sees them differently. Verse 11 says, the Pharisee stood Now, catch this. And don't get mad at me. Well, get mad at me if you want to. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Watch this. When your prayer is coming from a place of self-righteousness, you're not talking to God. You're talking to yourself. In other words, the Father is saying, I don't even hear this. So your prayer doesn't make it out of the room when you're flowing in self-righteousness. When you are depending on your own righteousness, your prayer does not leave the room. And because it doesn't leave the room, it goes unmanifested and unresponded to by God, because God is not obligated to answer a prayer when you are talking to yourself. Because that is exactly what he says here. That when I say that, I'm not talking about those things that you carry in your heart and you're in humility. But what I'm talking about is this situation with this guy, is that because this guy is in pride, and we're about to see this. We haven't gotten into the nuts and bolts of what made it pride yet. But I want you to understand before we get there is that when you are in pride, from God's perspective, you are praying with yourself. In other words, God is not even involved. So you have to stop and think, how many times have I prayed to myself and I thought I was talking to God? So look at what happens. So he said, but he says God, which shows you, just because somebody says God does not mean it gets God's attention, because what gets God's attention is a heart that is in the right place, not simply words. So he says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. So here he is comparing himself to other people because he's self-righteous. That I am not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not adulterer. In other words, I'm faithful to my wife. I'm not cheating on her. I'm not going and trying to cheat people out of money or anything like that. I'm treating people squarely. But he also says, not only he says, I'm not like other men, the extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers. I'm not like this publican. In other words, I'm not like this guy right here. So you should listen to me, because I'm not like this guy who's beside me. Think about that. What gall to even think that you're approaching the true and living God, and then you're comparing yourself to this person, and you're thanking God that I'm not like this guy right here who's praying. And you think your prayer went somewhere? All right. He's not even done. So I'm not like him. He said, I fast twice in the week. I go two times where I don't even eat. I'm fasting. I'm sold out for my religious practice. He said, I give tithes of all that I possess. Anything that comes to me, I'm breaking off God's 10%. So he's naming all the reasons why God ought to hear him, but totally unaware that he's simply talking to himself, because God doesn't hear him. But then look at verse 13. This publican is quite different than the Pharisee. It says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. In other words, when a person is looking down, it tends to signify that there's some type of shame many times that they're dealing with. And so he very well might have been this adulterer. He very well might have been this person who had been extorting people. I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us this. But the fact of the matter is, he couldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven to look at God. And he smote, or he beat upon his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me. Now, what he's saying He said, be merciful to me, a sinner. What he's saying is, God, I haven't done everything right. I've made my set of mistakes. I've done some things that are wrong. I failed you. And if you're going to hear me, it's going to be because of your mercy, not because I'm all that. Because I recognize I'm not all that. I recognize the fact that I have these things in my life, these flaws in my life, these things in my life that need to be healed, that need to be cleaned up, that need to be corrected. So I'm not depending on my own righteousness. God, I'm depending on your mercy instead. So look at verse 14. Now Jesus is about to give his verdict regarding these two men. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Which man? The second man. Why? Because the second man was dependent on God's righteousness, whereas the first man was dependent on his own. So he said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. In other words, this man left the temple in right standing with God, but the other didn't. How can it be? He was paying tithes. He was treating people right. He was not committing adultery, but he was not justified. Correct. He was not justified because he was dependent on his own righteousness. And God says he's unjust. See, we have to understand that God does not see things the way that men see things. Because you may see somebody who appears to be righteous, but God doesn't look at appearance. He's not tripped up by how things appear, because the Father sees absolute truth. He sees how things truly are, not simply how they appear to be. We get fooled by appearance. God doesn't. And so in our minds, we would think that this person who was not an extortioner, he was not unjust, not committing adultery or any of this stuff, we would think he would be the one righteous. But now God said, no, it was the one who was dependent on God's mercy who was the just one. So why are we talking about this? Because one of the greatest hindrances, I believe, to people receiving from God is that they are dependent on their own righteousness. In other words, they think that God ought to do it because they've done X, Y, and Z right. And then when things don't happen, they will say, well, maybe God didn't want me to have it, or maybe it was not the will of God. And so what I'm wanting to help us do is get back on track to where even if you live right, you're not dependent on your righteous living. You're depending on the mercy, the grace, the goodness of God. You're dependent on his righteousness. So your faith is in him, not in you. And so that's the distinction here. And I believe that we would see a lot more prayers responded to and answered by the Father if we would quit depending on our own righteousness, quit thinking that our own righteousness will be the reason that things happen, but we depend on the righteousness of God because he's always right. Because sometimes I fumble the ball. So I'm not going to depend on my own righteousness because as a human, sometimes I fail. So then that makes me an unstable platform of prayer if I'm dependent on my own righteousness. But if I'm dependent on the righteousness of God, who never fumbles, who never drops the ball, who never makes mistakes, then I have a strong enough foundation to build my prayer life on, because I'm not dependent on myself. I'm dependent on the righteousness of my God, because my faith is in him and not in me. Then that means that I can pray and I can believe God for anything because I'm not basing it on my righteousness. I'm basing it on his, and he's always righteous. And you may need to play that over again and really hear what's being said in that. And hopefully, and I believe we will tackle that particular point in more depth later as we really go deeper into prayer, because right now we're just dealing with some foundational things before we get into prayer itself, so to speak. Now, I want to go look at something in the book of James. Let's go to James chapter 5 for a moment. There's something I want to show you there about this. We're not going to go through all of this section, but there are a lot of points in here that deal with prayer. But what I want to look at is in chapter 5 of the book of James in verse 16. James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, let me explain to you why we came here. Because as a person who prays, and just to kind of piggyback off of what we just left, since we're not dependent on our own righteousness and we walk in a humble mindset, what keeps us in that place of humility is understanding that we have flaws. See, if when you understand that you have flaws, not my flaw is better than your flaw is worse than my flaw kind of a thing. But when you understand and you can admit that you have flaws, then that will actually help serve you as far as with keeping you in a place of humility. So he said, confess your faults or confess your flaws to each other. It doesn't mean stand up and tell the whole church or tell the whole building or tell the whole world the mistakes that you've made. But what it's talking about is you ought to have people that you can go to and say, look, I've messed up. I fumbled the ball. I've made some mistakes. And then he said, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And so then it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So then he says, Elias was a man, this is in verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Well, why are we looking at this, man of God? I'm glad you asked. The reason we're looking at this is because sometimes we tend to look at the people in the Bible who God's backing as if they were perfect. And what's been happening, and I've been seeing that we kind of, in a way, act like God uses the perfect, and that's not even biblical. So we have to understand that not only are we flawed, but the people who we see God using in the scriptures were people who had flaws. Well, why is that important? So that you do not cancel yourself out because you have flaws. In other words, don't say, well, God can't use me because I've made some mistakes, or because I still make some mistakes. Because here he talks about prayer and confessing your faults. But then he compares us to Elijah. Or he's comparing what we can do with what Elijah did, because he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so then he uses Elijah or Elias as an example of this. He said Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. In other words, Elijah wasn't too different from you. But you may be thinking about all the different things that he did with people being raised from the dead, with him calling down fire from heaven and all of that. But the bottom line is that Elijah was really not too different from you. And the Bible says he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So his flaws, his humanity did not stop him from being able to pray effectively. But see, sometimes we're thinking that we have to be perfect and I have to do everything right all the time, or else God won't hear me. That's you depending on your own righteousness. There's nothing wrong with wanting to improve. I'm constantly working on myself to improve. But there's a difference between wanting to improve versus dependent on your own righteousness. And so Elijah was a man who had his own flaws, but it did not stop him from being able to effectively pray. So that is what the Father is wanting us to understand, is that I understand you have flaws. I understand you have faults, but your faults do not determine whether or not you are effective in prayer. They only determine if you are effective in prayer if you believe they are effective, that they have an effect on your prayer life. And so that's one of those things that we're going to have to get beyond if we're going to be effective praying people. And so then it says in verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So here is a man who was able to pray effectively, who had faults, who had his own mistakes in his life, but God was with him. He prayed effectual, fervent prayers. And he was righteous, but not because of himself. He was righteous because he depended on his God. We're going to end this session right there. Holy Father, we thank you for blessing us and making us a blessing. Father, I command the blessing on everyone who has listened in and who will take heed, that they will pursue you regardless of the faults, the frailty, and the failures that they have had, that they will understand that all they have to do is walk in that place of humility where they can admit that, yeah, I'm human and I've made some mistakes that are common to man. And Father, I yield myself to you and I understand now that it's about me depending on your righteousness, your goodness, and not my own. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We will see you next time.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.